You're listening to Travel Talk Weekly with Rob and Carrie Stewart, travel experts, authors, and TV hosts. Join them as they take you to amazing destinations all over the globe. Whether it's cruising the seven seas, exploring Europe, or being pampered at an all-inclusive resort, Travel Talk Weekly is your passport to the world.
Hello there, my fellow traveler. Welcome to Travel Talk Weekly, episode number 140. Rob and Carrie Stewart here, coming to you from the Creating Magic Vacation Studio in Orlando, Florida.
And travel is back bigger and better than most of the experts predicted, especially when it comes to cruise vacations or traveling to Europe.
And on this episode, we're going to give you our top travel tips, the ones we use ourselves and advise our clients on as well. These really come into play if you're taking maybe a seven-night cruise or your bucket list trip to Europe or wherever your list happens to take you.
So let's start with tip number one, passports.
There used to be a time when you could go to your local post office. I remember going to ours in Tampa many years ago, and you could apply for a passport and have it back in a few weeks. Not anymore, specifically since COVID.
And so here's our motto. It's better to have a passport and not need it than to need one and you can't get it in time. We're hearing a lot of stories about this.
Way too many stories about that. So if you don't have one and you even are thinking about going somewhere in the next year or so where you might need it, apply for one. In some cases, we're hearing they're taking sometimes 5 or 6 months, hopefully not more, but that is ridiculous. Here's an idea that I have for the government. Stop hiring so many IRS agents and start hiring more people to process passports.
Oh, I like that idea. Now, many countries when you visit will want your passport to be valid for 6 months past your last date of travel in that country. So keep that in mind. You want to look at your passport. If you have a trip coming up, make sure it's valid for 6 months beyond the date that you're returning to the U.S. Also, though, if you are going on a cruise, it may be a little different, and some countries are different. So we always say, just go to travel.state.gov, and you can easily pull up the country you're visiting, and it will tell you. So for example, if you're going to the Caribbean, you can have a passport that's just valid. Because the cruise lines, it doesn't need to be beyond 6 months in most cases. But it's always good to just err on the safe side and make sure that it's valid for at least 6 months.
I think ours are good now through 2028.
They are.
Let's say that you have one and it's going to expire next summer and you don't have any international trips planned in that time frame. Renew it now. You do have to send it in, but when they issue the new one, they will send your old one back with a hole punched in it, meaning it's no longer valid.
And the same thing, if you are going to apply for one, you're going on a cruise, you do have to send in your original birth certificate or certified copy. So if you're worried you may not have your passport back in time for that cruise, you can use your birth certificate. Just make a certified copy before as your backup.
Our second tip is something that we have had for years and we totally love and we absolutely swear by it, and that is TSA PreCheck. Most of you probably know, but just in case, this is a separate security line where you can leave things in your bag. You don't have to pull out your electronics. You don't have to take off your shoes or belt. And it's a huge time saver at any airport.
And if you're going to be traveling international, go ahead and get global entry. We've had TSA PreCheck for years. Like, in fact, I think it's coming up. It's a 5-year duration, and it's coming up for renewal again.
When?
Next March.
Uh-oh.
But it doesn't work for global entry. And they used to have an app like Passport did, and they recently updated it, and you can't check in anymore that way because you used to be able to kind of skirt it. No use talking about that because it doesn't exist anymore.
But yet you did just talk about it.
But global entry would be a nice upgrade for when you return back into the States. But I'm telling you, when you're flying out of some of those airports, TSA PreCheck line is always going to be quicker and faster, and it's going to save you a ton of time. It's worth it. I know some people at some airports like Denver, they use Clear a lot. That's another special line. But at least get TSA PreCheck or Global Entry if you are going to be doing international. You do have to set up an appointment, and right now those appointments are pushed back 6, 7, 8, 9 months. It's crazy.
And it's funny you did bring up that mobile app, because until just now, I thought it was still valid. I thought it worked. It was called Mobile Passport, and we used it when we were coming back from Europe, and we filled out the information in the app while we were still on the plane, and we breezed right through security. I cannot believe they took that away. So Thanks for sharing the bad news with me.
Well, there's a money grab for the global entry, so keep that in mind. Always follow the money. But yes, get TSA PreCheck or global entry. Totally worth it.
Our next tip, number three, is all about airfare, which has changed a lot just in the last few years. You know, mobile passport's gone, so that didn't help. Southwest used to be the undisputed price leader. That is no longer the case. We have a friend of ours who was one of the original sharks on Shark Tank. His name's Kevin Harrington. I remember years ago talking to him, and he was telling us that he always flew Southwest. Great prices, great routes, and because he was A-list or whatever you call that thing, you know, he could board first and just sit right up front and get right off the plane.
Well, they no longer have the lowest price due to the fact that they had purchased a huge amount of jet fuel on the futures market. And when that ended, they lost their competitive advantage and their pricing did go up. In a lot of cases, it's more than some of the other mainstream airlines. It's still, they make it super easy though. If you need to change your flights, no change fees. If they have a sale, your price goes down, you can reprice it. I mean, Southwest definitely has some benefits.
I know we personally don't like flying Southwest literally because of their boarding system. It's just the two of us. And so we would, you know, get on as early as we could, but you had to get up and try, you know, 24 hours before, you know, check in and get your, you know, your letter and number. But we would get on the plane, find an empty row and get the aisle and the window seat. Why? Because no one wants that middle seat. And then our tactic, do not make eye contact with anyone coming down the aisle.
Or you just fake, like the two of you are having an intense fight. Nobody wants to get in the middle of that one.
We may have
that may work.
That.
Now, it used to be a good tactic to build up points with one specific airline to gain status. And if you live in a city where there is a hub, like Atlanta has Delta, then it's probably going to be a good option because most of your better flights will be out of that hub. For us, it's pretty useless these days, and that's true for a lot of other airports. The idea behind this strategy was you would have a better chance at being upgraded because you had all these points and you always flew them, so you could go from coach to, say, business or first class, but things are different these days.
Most of the time, if you're flying in what is now business class, it's very rare you see first class domestically, you'll probably be in either a 737 or an Airbus A321, which is just a simple 2x2 configuration with only 16 seats, maybe 20 at most, like maybe 4 rows of 5 or 4 rows of 4, but that's about it.
Yeah, so there's a lot fewer business class seats, which is why even if you have status, many times you are not going to get that bump. So don't plan on it.
So here's our personal strategy. If the flight is 3 hours or less, we will fly premium economy. If it's any longer, in most cases, we'll pay for business class. If it's international, we only want to fly business class unless the price is ridiculous, which it was when I checked for our flight to Amsterdam, which is in March of next year. It was $4,000 a piece for business and $2,000 thereabouts for premium economy. And that's on Delta because they are the only airline that flies nonstop from Orlando to Amsterdam, which will shave, you know, 3 or 4 hours off the flight time.
And this is where you want to really understand the differences on each of the airlines between what they call maybe first, business, some call it premium economy, some call comfort plus, some have both. You definitely want to check those things out. There is a website called seatguru.com where you can actually put your flight number in and it will tell you exactly what are the best seats and what the differences are, even down to how wide the seats are. So that will give you a good idea, something to just think about before you pick your seats.
And secondly, something we used to do in the past and people generally don't do anymore is to go for a status with any one airline. You can still do that in some cases, but we now go with whoever has the best price and the shortest flight times. This means we don't get points as fast as if we were just flying with one carrier, but the money that we save makes it all worth it.
And that's where one of the best airfare tips is to have a credit card strategy. So getting a credit card that rewards you with the points that can be redeemed for travel is key there because you can book with all the airlines and then you have all those points with the credit card that you can redeem for future airlines.
And that's if you're doing a generic card like an Amex or a Chase Sapphire Preferred. Now, specific airline cards are also good if you want to stick with one airline and maybe you can't get the two cards that we just mentioned. So maybe you get a Delta credit card, you know, Delta Amex, and you build points that you can spend on Delta.
For this strategy to be effective, though, very important, you need to pay off those credit cards every single month. You don't want to carry a balance as the interest would negate the value of the points.
Tip number 4, luggage and packing. Now, when it comes to luggage, we always advise our clients and good friends to have good quality luggage. I remember sometime before we went on our honeymoon back in 2009, I had purchased a set of Victorinox luggage, a full size and a carry-on size. The number one reason is it had at the time what was supposed to be a lifetime warranty. That is no longer the case. They've kind of adjusted that. So I have, both my pieces probably could use a repair, but I don't use them anymore.
Now, I've always spent money on quality luggage going back to the early 90s, and it is still my favorite brand, and that is Briggs & Riley. It has a true lifetime warranty. I've actually used it a few times myself. And one of the times, instead of fixing it because the bag was so old, they're like, we don't even have this bag anymore. We don't have the parts. They just sent me a new version of that bag.
My favorite story about Briggs & Riley is when we had come back from a trip and you left the bag in front of our SUV and you drove over it.
I did.
And that kind of mangled the bag, obviously.
But they repaired it. I know. Actually, that was the one that they sent me the new one.
They sent you a brand new bag. And like, what other bag should we drive over?
Yeah, but it's definitely worth it to invest in quality luggage when you are traveling. And you do need a variety because some destinations, like if you're doing an African safari, they may be very specific on the size of your luggage all the way down. I know like some adventures, they require that you only have a duffel bag and they provide them because they don't want you showing up with the wrong size.
That is so funny. We have some clients that are going to be traveling on Tauk and it's an African safari and they're like, nope, you're not bringing your fancy little luggage here. Here's the duffel bag. Put whatever you want in it, but that's all you get.
Yeah.
And, that would be interesting.
And the weight limits. The weight limits because they have smaller planes. So they really have to be thinking of those things.
And this next part of this tip when it comes to luggage does tie into the airfare as well. And it's something we just started earlier this year on our business trip to Budapest. It was a 10-day trip. And that is not checking luggage. We just use carry-ons. Now, it seems like every time we travel, we learn something new. On that trip, I used my brand new Briggs & Riley spinner carry-on. And I love it. It is worth mentioning, we are not endorsed by Briggs & Riley or any of the companies we're talking about. And as much as I liked my eBags backpack that I used a lot, it was a great backpack, I didn't like that it did not have what's called a suitcase seatbelt, which is a band on the back of the bag that slips over the handle of another bag, in this case, my carry-on. So the whole time when I'm moving my luggage around on that trip, I had to hold my backpack handle and the extended handle on the carry-on, which was not very comfortable. So what I do? I bought a brand new backpack that had that feature, and this is from Solguard, and I'm very excited to be using it on our trip to Alaska.
Now, I love not checking bags because it accomplishes several things. Number one is a big one. You don't have to worry about lost luggage. That has happened a ton this past summer, especially with people going over to Europe. Their bags are getting lost.
Which is also the reason to fly nonstop.
Yes, that is another really big reason. But it also has another big advantage, which is it keeps you from overpacking because you are very limited. Your one bag has to fit under the seat in front of you, and then one can go in the overhead bin. And we still managed to overpack even with just our carry-ons.
That was a big accomplishment.
But not this time to Alaska, though. We are on top of things.
Now, for those of you that take, you know, vitamins or supplements, or you need to bring some medication with you, a pill box is a great way to not only sort your pills, but make sure to remind you that you're taking them while on your vacation. I do have a few vitamins and supplements that I take daily, and by sorting them in a pill box, it'll let me know if I took them or forgot to, because on the road, everything changes. So this is a great way. I'm bringing a little pill box with my vitamin C, my supplements, and things like that, just to make sure I take them.
Another thing to have in your arsenal of luggage is a bathroom bag. And we have our individual bathroom bags, and they hold travel-size products. And we like to stock them when we come back from a trip so that at any moment's notice, we could just leave. So we have duplicates of some of like the basic things we use while we're on vacation. But you want to get the right kind of bathroom bag that can hold everything, but also one that's going to conserve space. And the one that we currently are using, and I love it, it's from eBags. We got it on Amazon. I'll put a link. Again, this isn't even an affiliate link. And I have referred this to so many people, and they're like, you know what I love about it is it's super flat. And then when you get to your destination, you can just unfold it and hang it up. But here's a little pro tip. If you like to hang up your bathroom bag, get like one of those suction cup little hooks that you can just put like anywhere in your hotel bathroom, because a lot of times you and I can't find a place to hang our bathroom bag where we both can hang them up. Okay. Or it's like hanging and it's like all the way down on the floor. But if you just get one of those, just a little suction cup, little hook that you can just put like right on the edge, right on like the outside of a shower, you will always have a place for that bathroom bag.
So a few things that I carry, I'll carry, you know, my shaving cream, my razor, I'll carry our toothbrush and toothpaste, things like that. My Breathe Right strips, but I have those little squishy bottles so I can use the conditioner I like that doesn't come in travel size, but like a travel size hairspray and a few other things like that to make sure. And I make sure they're stocked. So that's not something I have to worry about the morning we're traveling. Oh, I better throw the deodorant and cologne and all that stuff in there. We already have duplicates.
Now, number five, and this is a good one for a good reminder because sometimes we forget to do this, and that is doing destination-based planning. Every destination you go is going to be a little bit different. And so as we're preparing for our trip to Alaska, we figured out real fast that we may need a few things for cold weather that we rarely have to pack for.
We have both had Salomon hiking shoes from when we were filming in the Amazon back in like 2015, 2016-ish. And we knew it was time to get new shoes for Alaska. So we both bought Columbia hiking shoes. We bought them over at Disney Springs here in Orlando. And yours are even like, I would say old school. Like I used to wear these in the 1980s, like going to high school.
Yeah, I know. They are really fun though. So I'm excited though. And if you don't know what we're talking about, they're kind of those like tan hiking boots.
The leather, tan leather.
They have like the red laces and you lace them up and the last two laces are kind of like little hooks.
Oh, I didn't see those hooks.
Yeah. So it's just, it reminds me of just like when I was little and I had those.
I just got the regular, whatever they had, the recommended hiking shoes. I also bought a really nice Columbia hoodie jacket that is thicker than my Creating Magic Vacations kind of jacket that I wear. That would have come in handy when we were in Budapest because it was chilly then. So this will be a great jacket to test out in Alaska. We've already looked at the weather. And that's another thing is look ahead to the weather. We've already seen that it's not going to get that cold. It'll get down to maybe 50. And we are doing a helicopter excursion to one of the glaciers, but they give you jackets and clothing for that.
And when we say destination-based planning, it's really a good idea for you to start looking at the weather even 1 week prior to going on your trip. And the reason is because there could be something going on that there could be a storm developing in the Caribbean. And so you could possibly be at risk of lots of rain and possibly a hurricane. Or like we're going to Alaska. And what if they were having like a super cold spell and it was going to be much, much cooler than expected? Usually about a week out, you can have a good idea of what is going on.
If we're going on a Caribbean cruise, the odds are I'll bring one pair of long pants and not even wear them. It'll be shorts, t-shirt, flip-flops for most of the trip. I will say for the Thanksgiving trip on Silver Sea, I will bring some nice shoes, nice pants, a nice dress shirt. But other than that, now, since we're going back to Amsterdam next year in March for the same conference, we know what the weather's like, so we now know how to pack a little better than we did this year.
Yeah, and if you do have any questions, you can always talk to somebody if you have a friend who just got back from that destination and see what they brought. And also ask them, is there any clothing you brought that you never wore? That's a big one because that will help you from overpacking.
Thank you so much for listening. And make sure you join us next time on show number 141 as our topic is a bucket list trip for millions of people. And that is cruising Alaska. Oh, I know. Big shocker because we just talked about that. What's going to make this show different is that most of it will be written while we are still on our cruise ship, the Disney Wonder. But that show will be specific to cruising in Alaska, not just Disney cruises.
Yeah, and some of the best deals for Alaska cruises come out in the months of September and October for the following season. And we are already booking into 2025.
That is insane.
It is really insane. So if you don't already have a trip on the books and you do have some destination that you're so excited, but you don't know where to start, reach out to us or one of our Creating Magic Vacations travel advisors.
And here's a saying that is me. I made this up. Memories, especially travel memories, are better than things.
So let's get out and adventure the world together.